You're listening to SBS News.
On Afghan nationals trying to apply to come to Australia, are contractors such as embassy security guards eligible for visas?
Well, we've announced who is eligible. They have to go through a process to identify whether they are eligible, and if they've been locally engaged employees, that meets our definition. It also is approved through a matrix by the minister and the department's recommendation, then they're allowed to make an application.
Sounds pretty complicated. When you boil it down, if you were a contractor, does that mean you're not eligible through that process?
We have to remember this is Australia's longest war, and when I visited Afghanistan, I saw the situation with contractors on the ground. This is large bases inside Afghanistan, contractors from all over the world. We do have criteria to meet. They have to be met. And of course, you know, people contracted to several countries on many occasions, and often we find locally engaged employees have options in many different countries to apply for a pathway, and that has to be taken into account as well. So they have to conform to our process, absolutely. And after a long period of time, that can sometimes be difficult to establish.
So it is possible, if they met all the other conditions that you've mentioned, that a contractor could be eligible?
It's possible they could if they met the conditions.
Okay, thank you. In terms of the staff at the embassy who've now, it seems, been included, even though they were contractors, and allowed to make that application, will that be the same for other contract staff, for example, with AusAid? Do you see the same potential exceptions being made for them?
Well, it's not my role today to comment on individual cases. We don't do that, and I won't comment on individual cases. But if people feel they're eligible, they should make the application, and they'll obviously be dealt with in the usual way.
Okay. Now, Maurice Payne said in Question Time yesterday, 186 people since April who had applied had their visa processed. Where are they at the moment?
Well, we don't comment on that for operational and security reasons. However, you know, it's a whole of government effort to make sure people will be prioritised in the humanitarian program for a visa, and that they'll be moved through our exemption process to Australia as soon as practicable, and all those checks have been done.
Are any of those 186 people in Australia already?
Well, again, we don't comment on where people are because of security reasons, for good reasons. We've moved 1,400 people over the last, since 2012, since the announcement, and 181 since April, but we don't make a specific comment on where people are for a lot of reasons. And people have family still back in Afghanistan. There's lots of good reasons why we don't talk about where people are.
What happens to the people who don't make a successful application by the time Australia withdraws in September? Is there any chance they'll be able to get out?
Well, at the moment, we're encouraging everyone to come forward and make their applications. They'll need to meet our criteria. We'll address those sort of issues post the coalition withdrawal, but once the coalition has withdrawn, obviously the security environment will change again, and we'll have to assess that in line with country conditions.
You can understand the frustration for those people who are advocating for interpreters and other staff in Afghanistan who don't know whether or not they're actually being moved out. I just spoke to Jackie Lambie. She's of the opinion that they're in Australia. Where does the truth lie here? I understand what you're saying on the security front, but can you say anything in a broad sense about whether or not these people are actually being able to get out of the country?
Well, I have said, and I appreciate Jackie's enthusiasm and advocacy for this, and you know she's right to advocate for it, but the government's had a strong position since 2012. This has been the highest priority in our humanitarian program. Locally engaged employees have been given the highest priority. There's been 1,400 visas granted with them and family members. We're moving through them. I've also asked my department to apply all resources to get the remaining applications finalised before the coalition withdraws in September. So that will be either acceptances, refusals, or complex cases which can sometimes arise which are unable to be decided.
Okay, so sorry, can you just repeat that so I understand that really clearly? So you've given an undertaking about the withdrawal date and what you're prepared to do before then. What is that undertaking?
Well, I've instructed my department to ensure that all applications are finalised prior to September, whether that is accepted or refused applications or sometimes complex cases which are unable to be decided by September, but a decision is made in the primary sense by the coalition withdrawal in September. So that's important too. So we'll get through the caseload on hand. Of course, it is a very difficult security environment. We want to meet our obligations, but the complexity there is substantial, and often you can find, like with any visa process that we have anywhere in the world, we will issue visas. Sometimes people will not want to take up those visas, or may change their mind, or may stay in country for their own reasons.
How many people have been knocked back since April? You've approved 186. How many have been told they're not eligible?
Yeah, we don't talk about those things for various reasons. What reason is that? Well, it's the same reason. I mean, the more we talk about what is happening with this cohort, we understand the threat they're under. The people have made this point. They are under threat. The security environment is uncertain. The government accepts that. And we work hard with our agencies to get them out. And that's why we don't talk operationally a lot about what happens.
Okay. Now, I realise the bell's ringing, I believe, for the other house, though, not for us. So let's just talk briefly about Jackie Lambie's call for evacuation flights. We know that some people on the ground through the International Organisation for Migration are getting passage out of Afghanistan. Is that through flights arranged by the Australian government?
Well, it's not something we talk about operationally again, so I won't talk about the security or the operational elements of what we're doing. However, you know, we are working to meet that caseload and make sure people are given that decision prior to the withdrawal in September.
What do you say to those people who are ex-military and serving military who feel the heavy burden of having worked with people in Afghanistan? They're desperate to give their friends information, and every time they want to understand what's going on, they hit this roadblock that, you know, we can't talk about it for operational reasons.
Yeah, well, we say thank you for their service, first of all, and also I understand completely, and so does the government, their advocacy for people who've helped us in Afghanistan, our longest war. We lost 42 of our own people in Afghanistan. And we understand how serious this is for some people. We're working to process it as a whole of government effort. They can contact our agencies at any time. Of course, as former service personnel, they're able to, you know, advocate very strongly, and we'll work to meet all of that and get that done. Some people, of course, won't get a visa, and there will be reasons why. Obviously, the Australian public expects us to ensure the proper health, character and security checks are done. Sometimes that is difficult, and sometimes the decision won't be always positive, but we will make the decisions and we'll have all that done before the coalition withdraws in September.
How many people have you been made aware of who worked with Australia in some capacity and who have since been killed by the Taliban?
Well, there's a lot under that. Obviously, there is a lot of uncertainty around the security environment in Afghanistan. You know, we see with the withdrawal of coalition forces increasing violence. This is the longest war. There is a complexity about where people have served, with which country at which time. In some cases, of course, are very difficult to go back to the beginning of the war in Afghanistan and accurately identify people. So there's a lot under what you say, but we're aware people are under threat. It is a violent place on occasion. The Taliban are a violent force. That's why we were there in the first place. We will do our absolute best to protect those people who helped Australian forces who meet our criteria and were able to validate. You know, nobody's suggesting it's ideal.
Okay, but have you been made aware of people who have been killed by the Taliban who worked with Australia, not under threat, but who have already died?
Well, I've been made aware, certainly, of people who have died, absolutely, you know, and including our own soldiers. I mean, there's been so much killing in Afghanistan over the last 12, 13 years that we've been there. It's been a terrible time.
Let's quickly take you to the Bilibila matter. When will you finalise your decision on the longer-term question of the permanent resettlement?
Well, the considerations are ongoing, so I have a number of submissions to consider, including more information from the family. So that does take time. There are a number of administrative and judicial processes to finalise as well, so it will take about some time.
What's some time?
Well, it's impossible for me to say I'm the decision maker. I have to read through the evidence that's in front of me.
Do you have a statutory time period, though?
Well, not on some of these considerations, and certainly I have to consider and weigh up the matters, and other processes can intervene on the time frame. So it's quite a complex matter.
Given by the Joseph's public comments on this, do you expect that you'll get pressure from the Nationals and that will impact on your decision?
No, I found only support from government members for the government's border protection position, also for our need to manage migration cases individually and in a specialist way. They're complex, they have many legal issues under them, and of course everyone in the government is very familiar with IMAs and our border protection regime.
Barnaby Joyce hasn't come to you asking for you to consider his viewpoint, that if they had different sounding names, that they'd be back in Bilibila?
Look, I saw those comments. I reject them, and the government rejected those comments. Obviously, they were unfair and mischaracterised. You know, I have had a lot to do with the Sri Lankan community, whether it's Sinhalese or Tamil, doesn't weigh on my mind in any way, shape or form what their names are or what ethnicity they are or what country they've come from. It's about whether we owe them protection and whether they fit into our legal migration framework and whether they are indeed owed protection by Australia or not.
Okay, and can I just take you back one step, just given the bells that were ringing? It's a really crucial aspect. You mentioned that you're aware of people being under threat, and I asked you, are you aware of people who worked with Australia who have already been killed by the Taliban? Would you mind just addressing that question again?
Well, of course, I'm aware of all public reports about what has happened in Afghanistan over many years.